Also, Love is Blind puts a demand on the relationship that can be clouded by social media, by contracts, by attention, and even us not wanting to, or the person's not wanting to be embarrassed. I believe Love is Blind puts that additional pressure on what we are building. So my husband and I, or my pod mate at the time, are building this connection, but we also have these other entities in the relationship, the contracts from Love is Blind, social media and their commentary. I've done this on national TV, and so I don't want to be embarrassed. Like all of that, because I wish somebody would. Let me tell you something. I wish you would take me to the altar like Lee almost did. Like my husband almost did. Now, I talk about it in the book. Did y'all know that homeboy proposed? Did y'all know? Did you know that homeboy proposed to me? Who is homeboy? My husband. Did you know that he proposed to me and then called off the wedding? Hey friend, I'm Robin May, and a few of the professional hats that I wear includes being a transformational speaker, a life coach, and a licensed therapist. And personally, well, I'm a wife, a mommy to three girls, and a pastor's wife, just to name a few. Girl, I'm over here doing all the things while trying to stay in shape and keep my skin clear. But the truth is, I don't want to be known for being busy. I think that's a scheme that somebody set up. No, I want to be known for living a life that is in perfect alignment with what God intended. And I want to help you do the same. So it's with that in mind, I'd like to welcome you right here to Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Over here, we're creating a safe space to have real conversations with real women on real topics. This is a judgment-free zone where we can be vulnerable and honest and curious about our lives so that we can elevate not just what we do, but who we are. So if any of that resonates with you, again, welcome to our safe space. This is Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friend. Hey friend, welcome back to another episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. I'm super excited that you have come back. If you visited me before, if this is your first time here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Listen, over here we are laid back. It's just like having a conversation with your girlfriend. If I'm on here by myself, I talk to you like you're here with me. If I'm here with one of my friends, honey, you are listening in to our conversation, and we talk to you like you're sitting right here with us. So I am super excited that you are here. Girl, before we even get started, go ahead and tell somebody to get over here. Tell, make sure you have your tea. Listen, I have coffee. I love this mug. Don't, it says, if you're listening to this, it's a mug from our church. It's perfect. But y'all know I get distracted, so let me get back focused. Get you some coffee. Tell somebody to get over here because I am doing something that I have never done before. This is a first. But y'all know what I love to say when it comes to this podcast. It's my podcast and I do what I want to. Do y'all, let me see y'all's age. Do y'all know where that comes from? It's a song that says, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Listen, if you don't know that song, or listen, you don't have to know that song, but if you cannot handle me bursting out into random songs in any moment, then we're not meant for each other, okay? Okay, no, I don't want you to go. Don't go. But that's what I do. I just bust out into random songs. Okay, so I am doing something that I've never have done before, and I'm actually having notes again, because when I'm normally on this podcast by myself, I don't have as detailed notes anymore, but this time I do because I have a lot for us to go over. But I officially got bullied. I got bullied. Adult bullying is real. I got bullied into watching Love is Blind on Netflix. Completely got bullied. I watched season 6, and actually I also went back and watched all of season 1. So I have watched, and I'm not doing no more, y'all. So unless y'all can tell me a season I have to watch, I'm not doing anymore. But I watched season 6 and season 1, and I have gotten bullied into watching it. And who bullied me? My algorithm. Clearly, it's something that I'm watching on YouTube or something that I have clicked on social media, because my algorithm was filled with this. And or Netflix also, Netflix kept reminding me. It was like, Robin, you need to watch this. Robin, you need to watch this. You know what? That makes me, never mind. I was about to go down another rabbit hole. I'm not doing it. I'm back. So that's who bullied me. But I'm actually glad that I watched it, because I believe that it was very timely, because drum roll, please. Did y'all know that my book, Before You Take His Name, this is the second edition, Before You Take His Name, is officially available. I want you to head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks, or wherever you're watching this, go to the description. It's there. If you're watching me on Instagram, it is there. And I'm about to talk about a little bit about the book, and all throughout this episode, I'm going to read excerpts from the book as I talk about Love is Blind and Before You Take His Name. But listen, Before You Take His Name gives 14 questions. There are 14 questions that a woman who is dating should ask herself before she starts to consider marriage. And actually, the book is best for someone who is casually dating, or someone who don't even have a man right now, honey, because it will help you lay a foundation. It will help you lay a foundation for the relationship that you really want, to have a healthy relationship. So even if you are not serious about somebody right now, but if you have, the only people who wouldn't necessarily find something beneficial from this is somebody who has no desire to be in any type of romantic relationship. If that's you, honey, this book, just buy it for somebody else. I even think married ladies could get some benefit from it. But if you're married and you don't want to read it, I don't know why not. But go ahead and send it to one of your single girlfriends. There are 14 questions in this book. Plus, not only that, I share with you three stories of my personal friends and how they knew that their spouse was the one. And then there are two anonymous stories of two of my other girlfriends, and they shared how they thought somebody was the one and they weren't. Plus, there's even an excerpt from my husband. So make sure you grab your copy of Before You Take His Name. Now, here's the thing. But then if you're watching this real time as this is being released, if I can win, when I get to 100 books sold, everybody who purchases it will have access to the ebook for just $1. Originally, I said for free, but the way the publishing is working, I can't give it away for free through that particular app. So just $1, you can access the ebook for $1 when I sell 100 copies within the first week. So do me a favor and head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. All right. So what can you expect from this episode? I'm going to give my high level thoughts about Love is Blind. I'm going to give very high level about my thoughts about the show in general. And then I am going to discuss in detail just one couple from the show. Okay. So I'm going to go into detail about one couple. And if you haven't watched Love is Blind, if you're not interested in watching Love is Blind, this episode will still be beneficial to you, because again, we're talking high level about relationships in general. Plus, you'll get excerpts from the book. All right. Also, let's see. I'm also going to highlight, I'm going to highlight parts of my book, and I'm going to end with a powerful definition of a healthy relationship. I'm going to end with a definition of a healthy relationship and what you should do if you're still looking for love, all right? But first, I need you to understand the concept of Love is Blind in case you haven't watched it. I want to give you a high-level understanding about it. Okay, Love is Blind is a love experiment where, I don't know how many, they call contestants or participants. I don't know. I can't even begin to tell you. Let's just say it's 15 women and 15 men. I don't know if there's that many. But these people go into this experiment and they are dating multiple people at the same time. I'm going to tell you what I feel about that. But they're dating multiple people at the same time and they don't see one another. The ladies all are living in their own quarters. The men are living in their own quarters. The women see each other, the men see each other, but the men and women don't see each other. And when they are dating, they are in what they are describing as a pod. You could probably visualize it like a confessional. You know how Catholics go to confession? You can kind of visualize it like that, but just much bigger. The woman is sitting in like a living room setting, and the man is sitting in his own living room setting, and they can hear one another. They just can't see one another. Okay. So that's the concept of love is blind. And the thought is, let's see if love truly is blind. Can you fall in love with someone without ever seeing them? And I cannot wait to tell you my thoughts about that. Now, I normally don't like watching shows like this. I normally don't like watching shows like this because I take marriage very seriously. I take it very seriously. It often feels like the sanctity of marriage is not honored in these dating shows. Now, I know that I might be being a bit extra about that, but you can imagine this is the work I do. I'm in the trenches with couples and women and men actually all the time. And I know the realities of dating and once you get married and what is necessary to make a marriage. I mean, I just know the intricacies of it. And these dating shows, in my humble opinion, can tend to trivialize the process or make it, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. When they're making money off of it. Commercialize it, I guess. I don't know. But that is frustrating to me. And I think, like, if you think about doctors may not like, what's the show, Grey's Anatomy? Educators may not necessarily love Abbott Elementary. You know, when you're seeing what you do, I even remember my girl, Ayanla. Ayanla don't know me. Ayanla does not know me, but that's my girl. My girl, Ayanla, I think my feelings about her and her show from people in my life may have been confused because I would always probably have something to say. And it wasn't about Ayanla. I think Ayanla and what she did and does has its place for sure. But Ayanla will tell you she's not a licensed therapist. And so what happened for many of us in our profession, people would want to come to therapy and they expected that. And that what she was doing was not clinical therapy. And so because some of what she was able to do, honey, our license, baby, the way our licenses would get snatched. But I think what she did is, as a matter of fact, honey, I want to have a marriage retreat where couples can come and sit with me over a period of time so that I can really get into business, honey. And I would do it under my coaching practice. So that's kind of what I mean. Like, I just think it begins to shape an expectation of what's going on in an industry, shows like this, and that can be frustrating. And so normally I wouldn't watch these kind of shows. But again, I kept scrolling, I kept seeing it, and it kept advertising one particular woman, AD, and she was just so cute to me. I said, okay, let me go ahead and watch it. Okay, so what are my thoughts about the show? What do I think about Love is Blind? Okay. I was surprised, y'all. I am going to admit, I was actually very surprised. I was extremely intrigued by the show. Again, I watched all of season 6 and I watched all of season 1. And the other reason why I can't watch anymore, y'all, because I have a problem. I have a problem. I get way too interested in all the details of it because this is what I do. I am obsessed and addicted. I am obsessed, which if you watch my stories from the other day, my daughters say that I pronounce obsessed wrong. Let me insert this video right here. I'm about to insert a video right here. We have a serious situation here. How do you pronounce
McDonald's?
McDonald's. They think it's pronounced McDonald's. It's pronounced McDonald's. McDonald's. Nobody in the real world calls it McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. It's McDonald's.
Yeah, it's McDonald's.
So y'all agree with me?
I don't agree with you, but it's McDonald's. It's 100% McDonald's.
What do you think it is?
McDonald's. Mommy, you say, what's up?
Obsessed.
Obsessed. It's obsessed. Not obsessed. It's obsessed.
Okay, so
you want to make up words, mommy? You just want to make up words.
McDonald's or McDonald's, and is it obsessed or obsessed? She's just trying to be proper. She's not.
No. I think it's called McDonald's.
You're too Texan.
Yeah, you're too Texian.
You're really Texan. All right, let's go get food.
Yep, I'm hungry.
Did y'all see that? They say that I pronounce obsessed wrong. They say that I pronounce McDonald's wrong. So anyway, y'all see I get distracted. Okay, so I absolutely love watching people. I am obsessed with, tell me if y'all agree with my daughters, if you agree with me, am I saying obsessed wrong? I'm obsessed with understanding how people process. I'm obsessed with examining behaviors and considering their childhood realities. And so Love is Blind is my opportunity just to sit back and watch these people. But I get so interested in it. I am going down a spiral on their social media, child. I'm looking at videos about what this person is saying, what this person is saying, because I always want to get a full picture. So that's why I can't watch no more, because I have a whole husband. 100 kids. I don't have time. I don't have time, and I can't control myself. So I don't know if I'm watching anymore, but I was really intrigued. And so the big question is, Robin, do you believe, why do I say it's a big question? Because y'all care. Can y'all just tell me y'all care? Robin, do you believe that love is blind? So here are my thoughts. So there are many definitions of love. There are many different types of love for all of you who I call my church girls, not the church girls Beyonce be talking about, but church girls. We know that even biblically that there are three types of love, right? And so we know that there are all these types of loves. And so on a high level, I do believe that love is blind, but I don't believe romantic love is blind, okay? So let me explain. So I can absolutely see how you can become completely infatuated and even fall for, and maybe even believe that you're in love with someone that you haven't seen. I can understand how that happens. But I do believe that once you are able to see them, if you are not physically attracted to them, I do not believe that that romantic love is going to sustain itself. I believe that attraction is a critical part of your connection with someone. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. And quite frankly, I don't want to be with someone who's having to convince themselves that they are attracted to me. Like, I don't want to be with someone who is like, I love her personality and I love how hilarious she is. And I think she needs to do stand-up comedy because she is just so funny. Can somebody, listen, I have my cute necklace on, but I don't know if this necklace is messing with the microphone, so I'm going to take it off, okay? But I believe that somebody can really fall for you, but I don't want my husband to be like, I really like her. I really, really do. Now I don't find her attractive, but I can stay in this because you get what I'm saying? So I believe attraction is important. And I think, I don't know why somebody would want to be with someone that they're not attracted to. Remember, I told you I'm going to read excerpts from my book. So question number 12. I'm going to read question number 12 for you from the book. And question number 12 reads, let's see. Remember, there are 14 questions. Question number 12 says, are you attracted to him? Listen to this. This is what I said in the book. We are all adults, right? To be honest, even if a teenager is reading this book, this is still an important question for when that time comes. Let's keep it real. Do you find him attractive? Yes, I mean physically. I know that physical appearance isn't the most important part of a union. I also know that appearances change. So even though you may marry him with a full head of hair and muscles that you can see through his shirt, 10 years down the line, that may change drastically. And yes, it's important to love who he is as a person, but physical attraction should not be ignored. Keep in mind that Mr. Potential may not be your usual type. You may have always been attracted to someone who is tall, muscular, and dark. And this guy is medium height and slim, but you can still find him attractive. Also, there are times when we meet someone and initially there is no physical attraction whatsoever. And because of that, we proceed only with friendship in mind. However, one day you happen to look at your friend in a new light and see him, and I mean really see him for the first time. That could simply be a strategic move of God to help you build the relationship in the right order. But before you join in holy matrimony, your feelings of friendship need to have progressed to all aspects of a healthy union. That includes sexual desire for your potential mate. And so I think it is important that you are physically attracted to someone. And I personally think it is, I think it's a bit, I don't have this in my notes, but I'm going to just say that I'm wondering, do I think it's a bit, I'm trying to use the word, cruel, but I think that word may be a bit dramatic. Maybe I should say it like this, and I think I do have this somewhere in my notes. Maybe my ego just can't handle it. Maybe I should just say that. My ego can't handle it because, honey, I can't think, oh, I don't want to have any questions about whether or not you're attracted to me. And we have fallen for each other. I have fallen for you. And I don't even like that word fallen, but we'll talk about it in a minute. I have fallen for you. You have fallen for me. And then you're not into me no more. Or you're trying to convince yourself to be into me. Nah, baby, I can't. Okay. So again, I was surprisingly intrigued by the show, but I believe it is just that, y'all. It is a show. Now, I told my friends that I want to create my own version of Love is Blind. So this would be my version of Love is Blind. Okay. You wouldn't be dating multiple people. That's number one. That's number one. You're not dating. If you come on my Love is Blind show, you are not dating 15 people at the same time. These people were really saying that we're together. I'm with Johnny and Mark and Chris. I'm with Johnny, Mark, and Chris. And so I think I now got to go break up with Johnny. Now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with single women dating multiple people. Let me just say that. For all my church folks who are going to be upset about that, I don't think there's anything wrong with dating multiple people when you're just going out. Now, that's not including any physical intimacy. I'm just saying dating. Johnny's taking you out to dinner. Next week, Mark takes you out to dinner. Then Chris takes you to coffee. I don't think that there's anything wrong with you just kind of casually dating. But when we start talking about feelings and I am with you and I call myself being with you and then you are with three other women, call me old school, call me whatever you want to, but we, So in my Love is Blind experiment that I'm creating, that I'm forcing everybody who is single in my life to be a part of. So if you're in my life and you are single, just know what we're about to do. You're not dating multiple people. The person you are dating, you don't see them for 2 weeks. So you're dating, I match you up with somebody, y'all do not see each other for 2 weeks, but you talk every single day for at least 30 minutes, okay? This is my Love is Blind experiment. Y'all talk every day for at least 30 minutes. Eventually, y'all meet up. And if you are not attracted, if he is not attracted, y'all move on. And then if y'all are attracted, then you move into officially dating. That is my Love is Blind experiment, okay? So I love the idea of people getting to know someone without any distractions for a short period of time. I love that idea. But we have to realize that Love is Blind has created an artificial reality, and that doesn't mimic real life. And so when the rubber hits the road, we see what ends up happening. And plus, the show is very tainted by social media at this point. I believe that has made the experiment completely different. Okay. I also love that by nature, the experiment gives people an opportunity to consider what they really want in a life partner. Because physical attraction has been taken off the table, people can now consider what really matters to them. And I love that part as well. Now, another thing that somebody asked me in my DMs is that I think Love is Blind as a therapist. Do I believe Love is Blind has been successful? Well, I think for those that have found love, it's kind of like the luck of the draw. Like they've done, I guess, 6 episodes at this point, and I think there have been 11 marriages well, I shouldn't even put that in quotations. I did quotations for those of you who are listening. I shouldn't even put in quotations. These people literally got married. And I think out of those 11 marriages, 9 are still together. Well, if you look at that, 11 marriages and 9 are still together, that's pretty successful. If I got those numbers right. But now if you think about all the couples who've participated in Love is Blind, I have no idea what that number is, or all the people. Do I believe Love is Blind is successful? I think it's just kind of the luck of the draw. Some people say there's a couple from episode 1 of Love is Blind. Their names are Lauren and Cameron. Some people say that the show was created just for them because their love appears as far as we can see, their love, just like with my husband and I, as far as y'all can see, our love appears to be healthy, right? So as far as we can see, it is healthy though. Let me say that. Now we got our issues because let me tell you something. I was annoyed with him at the time of this recording. I was annoyed with him yesterday, babe. I mean, annoyed, but y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. Okay, I'm gonna keep going. So I just kind of believe it's the luck of the draw, right? I think, I don't know. Do I think it's successful? I think to some degree, I guess. I don't know. So for the most part, I do not believe that. So that's my thoughts. Let me just say that. Those are my thoughts on Love is Blind from a positive standpoint. But for most of us, I don't believe that Love is Blind is feasible, or y'all gonna get mad at me. I don't think it's feasible, or I don't think it's necessarily healthy to move forward in a relationship in the way that it has been concocted by Love is Blind. I know. Y'all gonna get mad at me. Let me take a sip of my coffee. I told y'all to go get you some coffee because we're getting into it. I don't believe that it's even necessarily healthy. And that word healthy, at the end of our time, I'm gonna define what a healthy love is, and so you may understand why I'm using that word healthy. I'm going to give you several reasons why I don't believe it is healthy. Now, again, I'm intrigued by the show. I've watched 2 episodes. I don't think there's anything wrong with watching and enjoying the show. I'm just wanting us to look at the show. If you're looking at the show, I want you to look at it as just that, as a show. And I want you to be reasonable as you are processing it. So I'm gonna give you multiple reasons. But first, I'm gonna give you a couple of reasons before I go into the actual ones. But one of the main reasons is that I do not believe that true love that stands the test of time can be developed like that. I believe it has to be developed over time. Now, again, I can have an instant attraction. I can have an instant chemistry. I can even have a quick connection. And connections can happen in romantic relationships or even platonic. I have been at events before, and I'm thinking about one particular girl, and I'm going to reach out to her today. I'm even thinking about 2. But this has happened to me often, that I've met somebody at an event and or at a retreat, or maybe I was at brunch with some friends and they brought a new friend and I just connected with this particular girl. And I'm like, oh, this is about to be my girl. I believe that that has happened to, not believe, I know that has happened to me several times. And so, and some of those relationships have stood the test of time. I'm thinking about one particular friend. I was at an event, it was an event about writing a book. Shout out to AJ. Hey, AJ, who he has a company, an app, I guess you'll call it an app, that helps you write a book. I didn't use it before You Take His Name, because I had actually written this book in 2008. So this is the second edition. But anyway, shout out to AJ. I was at his event, and I met someone there who happened to be married. Hey, Tori, who happened to be married to a guy I went to college with, the guy my husband and I went to college with. And so we started talking, and that we just connected. It was just something like, oh my God. And we are cool to this day. Like, that's just my girl, right? So my point is, that happened like that. We both knew, like, oh, this is about to be my girl. And so that can absolutely happen. But the kind of love that requires or that you're building for a lifetime commitment deserves to be developed over time. that deserves to be developed over time. And yes, some of that happens and develops within the relationship, within the marriage, but I believe a foundation needs to be set. Also, Love is Blind puts a demand on the relationship that can be clouded by social media, by contracts, by attention, and even the person's not wanting to be embarrassed. I believe Love is Blind puts that additional pressure on what we are building. So my husband and I, or my pod mate at the time, are building this connection, but we also have these other entities in the relationship, the contracts from Love is Blind, social media and their commentary. I've done this on national TV, and so I don't want to be embarrassed. Like all of that, because I wish somebody would. Let me tell you something. I wish you would take me to the altar like Lee almost did. Like my husband almost did. Now, I talk about it in the book. Did y'all know that homeboy proposed? Did you know that homeboy proposed to me? Who is homeboy? My husband. Did you know that he proposed to me and then called off the wedding? And did you know that we had already paid for the deposit for where we were going to do the reception? And we had already paid the deposit on the cake my mother. Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that the day we were supposed to get married, it was September or something, the day we were scheduled to get married, one of my closest friends ended up getting married on that same day in the same city that Lee and I were supposed to get married, Dallas, Texas. She had her reception at the same place on the same date that Lee and I were supposed to get married. She had her reception on that same date. Lee and I both were there with our same friends who were supposed to be in my wedding. Can you understand? Can you understand what was going on in me? Uh-huh. Yep. That sure did happen. But anyway, I wish he had taken me to the altar and I'm standing there in my dress and you tell me no. Whew. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. Is everybody breathing? Somebody say, Robin, breathe. Okay. So my point is that Love is Blind puts that kind of pressure on the relationship. So I think I just don't think it is realistic for the average person. All right. That leads me to share a few more things with you, and then I'm going to walk you through my specific reasons why I think Love is Blind is not feasible for the average person. As you're listening to me, I need you to listen to me understanding that I am a realist. I am a realist. That means I see things as they are, and I call them as they are. And I haven't always been like this, but these 17 years of being in the trenches with people in their life, I just don't fall for a lot of fantasy. I don't fall for smoke and mirrors. I look for behavior to match what you're saying. So if you're doing one thing, but you're saying something different, I am going to call that out. I am going to point that out. I tell potential clients, you got to make sure that I'm what you want. I wish that if therapy wasn't such a confidential process, I would have my clients do video snippets for potential clients, because you got to decide if this is what you want, because I am going to keep it 100% real. I'm going to hold your hand. One of my clients says, "Ooh, you snatch edges, but you hold somebody's hand while you're doing it." And that was the best compliment I could have ever gotten. But again, I'm saying that to say, as you listen to what I'm saying, you got to hear me through the fact that I'm a realist and I want to call things as they are. And when I say that, and you hear the other reasons that I don't think Love is Blind is necessarily healthy, that is where I'm coming from. Because here's the thing, I don't even like the idea or the concept of us falling in love. I don't like that idea. I'm going to read an excerpt from my book, because I don't even like the verbiage of falling in love. Now, I've said it and I say it, and I even said me and Lee fell in love. But listen to this. This is what I say from question 9. Is your life positively impacted by letting him be in it? Is your life positively impacted by him being in it? This is what I said. Do you believe in the idea of Prince Charming? Well, wait, let me define what I think is the fantasy of Prince Charming. This is the idea of a perfect man who rides in on a white horse, sweeps us off of our feet, and takes away all of our worries. If that is what you are looking for, let's be clear, it ain't happening. I told y'all I'm a realist. First of all, there is no perfect man. Secondly, we need to have both feet firmly planted on the ground when considering marriage. So again, I don't necessarily like the connotation that comes with falling in love. I believe that the initial stages of love, yes, it is beautiful, and I want both of you to experience that. And I remember the initial stages of falling in love with my husband and how we couldn't resist talking to each other, and we wanted to be around each other all the time. And quite frankly, I still feel that way. He still feels that way. But we need to have both of our feet firmly planted on the ground, thinking reasonably and logically. Baby, if you're about to get me, you need to be thinking reasonably and logically. Let me say this. I feel the Holy Spirit right here. If your love cannot stand an assessment, you need to question the love. So even when you think about reading a book like Before You Take His Name, if you're afraid of what you're going to discover about your relationship, if you read this, then that's an area of focus in itself, because your love should be able to sustain an assessment. Okay, so let's go into some of the reasons why I think love is blind is not necessarily the best idea for most of us. Okay. Number one, character matters. Character matters. And character is best observed over time. Do you know how long somebody can wear a mask? Do you know how long somebody can wear a mask, or how long they can send their representative in the relationship? People can wear masks, and so character matters, and character is best observed over time. Listen to question 11 from my book. Have you observed his true character in action over a significant period of time? Have you observed his true character in action over a significant period of time? This is what I say in the book. As I mentioned in the introduction, we must be sensitive to Holy Spirit as we are prayerful about our spouse. Every issue or area of concern that we sense with the potential spouse doesn't mean that you call it quits. It simply means that there is a red flag that gives us a chance to regroup and readjust. We all have character flaws or areas that we have not fully surrendered to God. What we should be looking for is someone whose integrity is shown through what he says and what he does more often than not. And when we do see a red flag, we want to eventually see a change in behavior. Remember, God may be telling us he isn't the one, or it may be a caution sign that says he isn't the one right now. And I know, you know a couple that only knew each other a couple of weeks and got married. Or your grandparents only dated for a month and then they knew they were meant to be. But I would ask you to consider if the examples you give are simply exceptions to the rule. And then I go on to talk about the fact that my husband and I were engaged twice. And I already told you that story. So again, character matters, and you don't get a chance to really see somebody's character until you had a chance to observe them over a period of time, not a accelerated time where it has been 6 weeks that I have known you. Okay. And like I said, there have been at least 9, honey, some people would say those rates are better than folks who got married after going to premarital and seeing the pastor. So, I mean, but again, the couples that we've seen from Love is Blind, I believe that they are exceptions to the rule, right? And I don't know that. And here's the deal. Let me say this. I should have said this at the top. I almost wish I could go back and insert this at the top. If you've watched this long, clearly you are finding some value in it, and I'm grateful for that. But if you were just getting ready to click off, I want you to understand this is not about Love is Blind. This is bigger than Love is Blind. This is for you to consider you're not going on the show Love is Blind, but you may be thinking, yes, I can do an accelerated process like that. And I don't have to worry, if they can do, I don't have to worry about all of that. I want you to understand that there are some dynamics to developing a healthy relationship. And I'm sharing those with you. So the first one is character matters. The second one is friendship matters. Friendship matters. And I really believe that relationships need to be built through stages. You need to be my friend and then my close friend. And then we can go into being in an intimate relationship. And intimate doesn't have to include sexual intimacy until you marry, girl. Are you going to wait till you get married? Listen, I'm not in your business like that. Now, if you were my client, I would get in your business. I'm not going to get in your business, baby. You grown. But I want you to build the relationship in stages. Let me read question 10 from the book. Question 10 literally asks that question. Question 10 says, have the two of you established a solid friendship? Listen to this. Friendship is key to building a healthy relationship with a potential spouse. In fact, in the relationship course that my husband and I taught for many years, we spoke in detail about building relationships in the right progression. This involves starting with the acquaintance stage when you first meet and moving to casual friends that includes surface level conversations, close friends, a more personal relationship, and finally, intimate friends. However, what happens is that in our rush to the altar, we meet someone and skip past the initial stages of a relationship straight to my man, even if we don't voice that thought out loud, we engage in activities that cloud our senses. As romantic as that may seem, it is dangerous and unhealthy for the foundation of your future relationship. The Bible tells us that if we are righteous, we'll choose our friends carefully. This means we shouldn't rush a relationship. So, I believe friendship matters and you want to build your relationship in a solid way because there's going to come a time when your romantic feelings may die down with the pressures of life, with the pressures of raising children, with the pressures of starting a business, with the pressures of caring for aging parents. And you want to have something more than just the romantic love. You want to have the friendship as well. So friendship matters because over time you want your foundation to be able to handle the weight of life that happens in marriage. Somebody needs to send this to somebody. Somebody knows they got somebody. First of all, you need to hear it for you, but then there is somebody you need to send this episode to so that they can get these nuggets. Okay, so I told you that character matters, friendship matters. Here's the next one. Commonality matters. Commonality matters. It is very important that you have more things that connect you than what divides you. Of course, the two of you are different. We know that, but you want to have some things in common. Listen to what I say in question 6. Do the two of you have anything in common? Listen to this excerpt. I want to add one more thing about commonality. One of the statements I often say is this. When you don't honor your deepest values, you will always live with an undercurrent of life dissatisfaction. I teach this to the women I support clinically or through my executive coaching courses. I also teach it to couples as I help them identify what I have termed their UCQ. The UCQ is their unique couple's quality. Well, the heartbeat of this is helping couples gain clarity on their values. But sis, before you can identify your couple values, you have to know your own values. Our values, whether they are personal, relational, or familiar, serve as guideposts for crafting a life that really matters to us. When we ignore our values, we often end up living out others' values and desires instead of our own. And that won't serve you long term. So when you think about what you and your friend have in common, view it through the lens of your core values and his. So values matter, and that is aligned with what you have in common. And now you may be able to find that out in a short period of time, to be fair, but you want to make sure that you fully understand what we have in common. All right. The next thing I want you to consider is this. Core acceptance matters. Core acceptance matters. You want your partner to really know you and to accept you for you. All of us long to love and be loved, and you want your partner to really know you. So when I say core acceptance, I mean you being accepted in the core of who you are, at the core of who you are. You want to be accepted at the core of who you are. So listen to what I say in question four. Are you free to be your authentic self around him? Listen to this. An amazing aspect of a healthy marriage is having what can be called a safe space. Your spouse should be someone with whom you can be fully naked, figuratively and literally, and have nothing to hide. If in your dating relationship, you feel pressured to act contrary to your natural temperament, dress in a way that makes you uncomfortable, or even speak differently, it indicates a rough future ahead. When I refer to a safe space, I define it as an environment where you can be honest, transparent, and vulnerable without fear of judgment. Such spaces do not simply happen naturally. They must be intentionally created by mutual agreement, cultivated, which means nurtured with accountability, and protected, shielded from outside influences that could harm the health of the relationship. So again, you want to know that you are accepted and that you can be safe with this person, that you can be safe emotionally, that you can be vulnerable, that you can lay all the cards on the table. And y'all, that is so important. So you want to build the relationship over time to see, let me test this out. Let me share this with you and see if it's thrown back in my face. Let me reveal this to you and see if it changes how you act about me or act towards me. And so acceptance matters. Okay, the next one, the next thing that's so important. Y'all knew I was going to say this. Wise counsel matters. You know I was going to talk about wise counsel. Wise counsel matters. So listen to what I said. Are the people that matter most to you in support of your relationship? Do the people who matter most to you support your relationship? Listen to this. As grown women, we don't need permission to make our own relationship choices. And you know, I know that we want to ask God first, but let's get real. If your close friends and family aren't feeling your man, you may need to pay attention. They know and love you. There's probably a legitimate reason for their side eye. Talk to them and ask them why. They may see red flags that you're missing. Of course, the final call is yours, but wisdom says their perspective is valuable. Before you brush it off, pray on it. God speaks through people that he has placed in your life. Take time to listen with an open heart. Girl, the thought of somebody getting married without wise counsel is scary to me, and that includes premarital. You want to make sure that you have people in your life who can help you see what you cannot see. Okay, I have one more thing I want to share, and then we're going to get into the discussion of one particular couple. So the last thing I want to say is that for women of faith, the fruit of the person matters. Now, I kept this one last, not because it's not the most important for women of faith, because I believe it is. In the book, it's the very first reason that I give, but I kept it last because that's not the premise of Love is Blind, and we're talking about Love is Blind. But if I'm answering the question about what I think is important as you're building a relationship, observing and inspecting the fruit of his life is critically important. I put it like this in the book. Does the fruit of his life demonstrate an intimate relationship with God? Listen to this. For a Christian woman exploring a future with someone, I want you to ensure he cares for you and has an elevated commitment to honor God. That doesn't mean perfection. We all make mistakes. The issue is integrity. Does he own and learn from mistakes rather than make them a habit? I wanted to have a confidence when I'm talking about my husband. I wanted to have a confidence that my husband's focus was on pursuing God's heart. And I needed to see that with my own eyes. Now watch this. While church attendance is important, it alone doesn't prove an intimate faith. As the saying goes, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Someone can attend service every Sunday. They can even serve faithfully, but that may be an indication that they are a hard worker or even someone that sticks to their commitment, but that does not guarantee that they have yielded their hearts to God. So I believe that having an intimate relationship with God is very important, and you can only observe fruit over time, the fruit of his life. It's not our job to judge someone's heart and whether they have given their heart to Christ, but we are called to be fruit inspectors. Okay, so I wanna hear from you. I want you to DM me or comment on the video and let me know, what do you think about the areas that I have mentioned? I talked about character, friendship, commonality, acceptance, wise counsel, and faith. So I want to hear from you what you think. Again, I told you I'm so intrigued with the show. I told one of my girlfriends that she's definitely going to go on the show. I'm going to send her name to the producers. I'm going to send them her her IG. She's going to go on the show, but this is what she's going to do. She's going to allow herself to be found. She can even head to the altar, but before they get to the altar, she's going to tell him, no, let's not go to the altar. Let's just continue to date over time because my friend Robin has to be. No, but seriously, she's going to date him over time and then she can see if she's going to marry him. So again, I am intrigued by the show, but in real life, y'all know that ain't going to work. In real life, that is not going to work except for Lauren and Cameron. Okay, so as we wrap, y'all, I told y'all that there was one particular couple that all of us were intrigued with. If you did not watch the show, y'all, there, I'm gonna give you an overview. There was a couple, the husband, he's not her husband. The gentleman's name is Clay and the woman's name is AD. Now, part of the reason why I don't do these kind of reaction videos to shows is because, and I don't talk often about specific people in pop culture on my social media or even on my podcast for several reasons. Number one, I don't like the idea of passing judgment. And that's what we're doing. We're coming to a conclusion. I don't like the idea of passing judgment on people in a public forum or critiquing them in a public forum like that when I don't know them. And I might not like what I'm seeing, but I always know that there are so many sides to a situation. And then the other reason, if I'm honest, my husband and I take very seriously the people that we are called to cover spiritually, who we are called to counsel, who we're called to coach. And quite frankly, I never know what influence God is going to give me in someone's life. And I don't want them to be able to scroll back through my social media or my YouTube and see that I had a strong perspective about them that I shared publicly. I'm being honest about this. So that's why I often don't do that. So with that said, when we're talking about Clay and AD from the show, these are real people. This is not a character. These are real people. But I also believe they are a perfect case study on relationships. So if you don't watch the show, let me give you an overview. And if you know Clay or AD, send them this podcast. Send them this podcast. Send them the DM. Tell them they can come on the show or maybe they can be on my caseload. Okay. So high level, Clay and AD were one of the couples who connected. Clay proposed to AD. They left the pod and got to the wedding day and Clay said no. AD said, yes, I want to marry you. Clay said no in front of the altar. There are a lot of opinions about them. Clay talked often about not being ready for marriage, not believing he could stand up to what it means to be a good man, feeling like he didn't have what it takes because of his experiences in childhood. He shared very openly over and over and over again how his father was unfaithful to his mother and how his father would take him with him when he was in his indiscretions and how that impacted him. And he just didn't know what kind of man he could be. AD talked a lot about, I can cover you, I can look out for you, I can be what you need, I can help you, I want to be there for you, I believe in you, you can do it. And so those of us from the outside looking in, we could see he's not ready, AD. And AD, why are you participating in this? And then others are saying, Clay, why would you lead her on? Why would you make her believe you were ready? So that's kind of the premise of their relationship. I want to share with you my thoughts on them. Number one, their story. Remember, I told you, I believe that their story is a great case study. Even when I was watching y'all's commentary, y'all's commentary on social media about them, I saw why. I'm trying to be careful here because y'all, in private conversations, I don't do all the disclaimers that I do in public conversations. Well, yes, I do, but I still give it to you straight. So I saw why many people find themselves in relationships that are unhealthy. I could see that based on the commentary. And let me say this. When I think about my own marriage and I think about our story, honey, we didn't know what this was going to be. Our relationship was so off and on, off and on, off and on. We broke up every 6 months. But I like to suggest that we were in our 20s. Yeah, we were in our 20s. I met Lee when I was 18 and he was 17. We dated 8 years before we got married. But if you can calculate that, we were dating in our 20s. I believe we got married when I was 27. And so those ups and downs and that back and forth is what relationships are made of at that time. But baby, if I'm doing that at 35 and 40 and 45 and 50, that's something to reconsider. Now, I should have reconsidered it then. And I ended up reconsidering. We ended up having to, when he called off the wedding, did I tell y'all he called off the wedding? I know I did. But he tells me that I just lean into that. I won't let him forget that. But there came a point, even in that, when I was in my 20s, that I decided that how he ended up proposing to me is because the first time, not the second time, but the first time, is because I just called off the relationship and we didn't talk for 8 months because I finally realized I don't like this roller coaster. This is not fun to me. Like, we're together, off. And in my 20s, I decided I didn't like it. And so when I'm watching commentary, I could see why many people end up in unhealthy relationships. And part of it is not because I'm so wise, although I'd like to say I am. I believe you just need people in your life who can help you see what you can't see. Just recently, I had a situation where I was very, very upset with someone. And I just knew I was right. And I was about to address it. I ran it by my sister, and praise be to Jesus that I did, because homegirl shined a light on some stuff with me that I was so in the wrong. Not only was I not right, I was wrong. I was wrong. And baby, and that's just such a lesson to me over and over again, because I felt so right. I felt so justified. But because I have made a habit in my life to seek counsel, I just decided, let me run this by her real quick. And I brought it to her like, baby, let me tell you, I'm about to give them the business. And I ended up getting the business. So I want you to understand that this is across the board. And so so let me get into my thoughts about them. Their story exposed the importance of understanding how your childhood stories play a part in your adult experiences. How your childhood stories play a part in your adult experiences. What happened to you as a child shows up in all of your relationships. How you were parented shows up in your marriage. How you were parented shows up how you parent. How you deal with friends. Some of you don't even wouldn't even allow a friend of yours to spend the night at your house if you're married, because your mother told you, don't let no woman spend the night at your house because your man would end, she could end up taking your man. Some of y'all know that's how you were raised, and so that has shaped. And I'm not telling you whether I think it's right or wrong, although two of my girlfriends are coming in town this weekend. And here's the deal. I plead the blood of Jesus. I know ain't nothing happening with my husband and them, but I'm not saying that. I want to say, I'm not saying that from a place of cockiness, like my husband doesn't have the ability to have a character indiscretion. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if he is going to mess with somebody because they in my house, he gonna mess with somebody anyway. You understand what I'm saying? So how you show up in life is based on your childhood experiences. And we see that with Clay and AD. Clay saw cheating in his life up front and personal, and it has shaped the man he is. So much so, did you hear how Clay kept talking about AD? He kept saying, "Sure, I'm just a big old kid. She'll just take good care of me. She'll help me." It was so much about her helping him. And I'm like, "Sir, what do you need help with?" "Oh, Clay, I like you though. You can come on my caseload. You can come on the show." Y'all saw me getting too passionate about it. But yeah, Clay kept saying, "She'll help me. She'll help me." Yes, a wife is called to be a helpmate, a helpmeet or helpmate, however you want to pronounce it. But as an adult woman, I want to be helping what you've already got going on. I'm just coming to enhance. My helping is to enhance, right? Not to mother you. I wrote a book. I read a book many, many years ago called Romance and Your Husband. Y'all, I love that book. I love it. Love it. But one of the things she said is that I want to be a lover wife, not a mother wife. So many women go into marriage as a man's mother, and many men are looking for their mother. I talked about this in the dating episode, so make sure y'all go back and check that out. So their story showed how our childhood experiences show up in our adulthood. And here's the deal. Some of you believe that how you were raised was the way somebody should be raised. How your parents showed up is the way it's supposed to be done. And fair enough, I'll give that to you. But I need you to understand, even if you had the Huxtables, there are some realities of what you saw or what you experienced or how you were parented that is impacting in good and not so good ways in your adult life. And if you've never taken time to examine it, if this is the first time you've considered that, I need you to understand that that is a reflection that you haven't done your work. If this is the first time you've ever considered, maybe some of what I saw growing up wasn't the way things need to be, or maybe how I was parented, there was some great parts of that and maybe some not so great parts of that. If you haven't examined that, that means you haven't done your work, okay? And then with AD, I talked about how childhood experiences shaped Clay, but even with AD, it shaped, you could hear her saying, "I can do it. I can come in. I can be what you need. I can help love you into being okay." You could hear that messaging. Their story also highlights how we will have a picture that we have painted of what life is supposed to be. We've literally painted this picture of what life is supposed to be, and we're just looking for people to come in and fill in the role. We already have the picture painted, and we're okay. All right, so he fits perfectly into the picture that I painted for a man, and this is what my little kids are going to look like, and this is what our house, and you're not looking at the person for who they are. You're looking at them to fulfill this picture that you've painted, even if you got to break their arm to get them into the picture. Not literally, but even if you have to break their arm to make them fit into the picture. So AD seemed to only want to see what she wanted to see and only hear what she wanted to hear. And even if the show is, which it is, highly edited, which it is, even what we did see, though, was concerning. What we could hear him saying was concerning. Let me tell you, if a man is telling you, "I don't know if I can be the man you need me to be," believe him. Believe him. Don't believe that your love can mature him. Ooh. Baby, can we stop? Can y'all write that down? Somebody needs to tweet that. I don't use Twitter. It's not even Twitter no more. X. Somebody post that on Instagram. Somebody post that on Facebook and put hashtag Robin May Online. Put hashtag before you take his name. Somebody put that online. I'm going to say it again. Some of you have to understand that your love is not enough to mature him. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. So one, their story has exposed the understanding of how our childhood stories play a part in our adult experiences. Their story highlights how we have a picture that we have painted of what life is supposed to be, and we're just looking to fit people into that picture. Then their story highlights how we look at life through a lens of our own experiences. So it is hard to see things through someone else's experiences. We see life through our own filter, through our own schema. I don't even have time to get into that, but we see life through our own experiences. And I could see that through social media. And even me, I see things through my own experience. I just know how to step out and look at it from a different point of view, but I have to do that with intention because initially I see it through my own perspective. I would be very curious about A.D. and Clay's attachment style. Attachment theory in therapy suggests that how you connect in relationships as an adult started from your childhood experiences with your primary caretakers. So how you show up as an adult started with your primary relationships as you were being raised, right? And also we have discovered relationships that you have as you continue to grow can continue to impact your attachment style. There are three primary attachment styles: anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, and secure attachment. I would love to know their attachment style. I would love to know it. If you are curious about your own attachment style, DM me, I'll send you a link, all right? All right, so remember this, several things can be true at the same time. There is an AD versus Clay narrative on social media. There is an AD versus Clay narrative on social media, and I don't believe that that's fair and it's not necessary. They both are responsible for how they ended up where they are. They both are responsible for how they ended up where they are in the relationship. Now, remember, y'all, this is a show. We got to keep remembering this is a show. Some people have suggested that they got paid to stay together longer. Some people have suggested that it was a contractual obligation. I even saw a video where it looked like at the altar, Clay was mouthing no to AD, like warning her he was going to say no. I saw the video with my own eyes. I saw him mouth no. Now, I don't know if that's what he was meaning. So there are so many different aspects to this. But I found that many women were moved at the reunion by Clay's tears. So many women were moved. Why? Because we're natural caretakers. And we want to take care of somebody. And many people probably saw his tears as him recognizing his wrong and that he wanted to do differently. Well, we're putting a lot of messaging in those tears until we sit down and ask him what he was exactly tearing up about and understand what was motivating the tears. We don't know why he was crying. There could be a multiple reasons why he was teary. It could have been embarrassment. It could be because he wanted her back. It could have been because he was ashamed with how he put his family's business on the line. It could have been because he just felt over. We don't know why he was crying, but so many women were moved by his tears because we are caretakers and because we often, many of us, have so much empathy. But I need you to hear me. You can feel the empathy, but not be responsible for the person's healing. You can feel empathy, but not take on the responsibility of their healing. You can feel empathy and give them the space they need to go through the process they need to go through so that they can heal. And then if that means y'all come back together, you come back together. If you don't, you don't. But empathy does not have to mean reconciliation. Somebody tweet that out. All right. Last thing, I don't want us to glorify struggle love. I don't want us to glorify, oh, we have to struggle. Now, again, when you look back on my story, we dated off and on for 8 years. Baby, I'm not doing that. If you are 40-something, you're not about to be dating somebody for 8 years. Okay, let me move on from that. So that's just a lot. So I don't want us to glorify struggle, love. And here's the deal. When you are an adult, you want to already be whole. You want to marry somebody that is relatively whole. I need you to complete me is only cute in the movies. I don't want to complete anyone. I don't want anybody to complete me. I want to enhance you and I want you to enhance me. Who I am as a woman has evolved because of my husband. His influence on me, researchers say that a spouse that is able to be influenced by their mate signifies a healthy relationship. I have been influenced by my husband and I have grown up in this marriage. We got married in our 20s. I have grown up in this marriage, but my growth has been with intention on my part. His love has been consistent. Listen, I need you to understand this. I want you to understand this. I'm not going to go there right now. Let me go back somewhere else. Let me say this last thing. Another reason why love is blind is not healthy for most of us is the isolation and the accelerated pace doesn't give people a chance to see, doesn't give other people the chance to see your relationship, to see what's happening in your relationship, to give you input. Remember, we want to have wise counsel. All right. So I know we have gone over. I want to read this definition of a healthy relationship. I didn't write this definition. I wish I did. But you can find this in my book. And it is the characteristics of a healthy, intimate relationship. The goal in an intimate relationship is to feel calm, centered, and focused. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think I'm just going to read a few lines. The goal in an intimate relationship is to feel calm, centered, and focused. The intimacy needs to be safe, supportive, respectful, non-punitive, and peaceful. You feel taken care of, wanted, unconditionally accepted, and loved just for existing and being alive in a healthy, intimate relationship. Let me skip down. A healthy, intimate relationship has a sense of directedness with a plan and order. You experience being free to be who you are rather than what you think you need to be for the other. An intimate relationship has its priorities in order, with people's feelings and process of the relationship coming before things and money. An intimate relationship encourages the spiritual growth of both relationship partners and makes room for God in the relationship as a partner and a friend. That is the definition of a healthy relationship. All right. I want to know your thoughts on that. I want you to DM me your thoughts on that definition. Okay. So what should you do? I said what you needed to do, and we're going to wrap up with this. What should you do after this whole conversation? Number one, understand this. And this is where I was going earlier, and I said, let me pause. No one can come in and heal you. They can enhance or hinder your healing. They can enhance or hinder your healing, but the work that needs to be done for healing is your work to do. And you can't heal someone else. You can help or hinder their healing, but if they don't want to heal, they will not heal. I don't care how many backhand springs you do. I don't care how many cartwheels you do. I don't care if you hula hoop. I don't care if you jump rope. You cannot force someone to want to heal. And so that's what I was saying about even in my own marriage. I came into the marriage with a lot of fears about commitment and fidelity. And that was because of the off and on nature of our relationship and what I had seen in other relationships. But that was my work to do that healing. Now watch this. My husband's consistency over time contributed to the healing. But that's my work to do. He had his own work to do in the areas of his life that he needed to mature. I can help that, or I could hinder that, but it's not my job to do the work. It's not your job to do the work. Number two, take some time to think about your own idea of marriage. We're going to do a series on marriage on the podcast, but take some time to consider what you think about marriage. What forms your views? Were your parents married? What did you see in their relationship? What are your real and honest expectations for marriage? What do you think about commitment and fidelity? What do you think about raising children? I want you to explore that. Number three, do your own work. That's what I talked about. Discover your own attachment style. What have been the patterns you've experienced in relationships? How do those patterns show up in other relationships? Know your own relational needs. We often talk about love language, but I want you to know your own relational needs. If you need that assessment, DM me on Instagram. Robin May Online is my Instagram. DM me on Instagram and I'll send you a relational needs assessment. One of my relational needs is loyalty. Support is another one of my relational needs. That's a little bit different from love languages, and you want to know what your relational needs are. And then lastly, establish your own support system. Identify two or three people who you give permission to tell you the truth so that you can see things for how they are and not how you have painted the picture. Whew, y'all, that was a lot. We have gone for quite a while, but I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, can you tell your people to come and listen to it? Can you DM me and give me your feedback? Can you like, subscribe, and share? I truly enjoyed having this conversation with you. This was the first. I've never, ever reviewed a show publicly, but that's how intrigued I was from Love is Blind. If you haven't already, grab your copy of Before You Take His Name. I would love your support. All right, that's it, y'all. Until next time, I'll talk to you later. Hey, friend, listen, I'm super excited that you listened to this episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and Friends. But before you go, did you know that my book, Before You Take His Name, is officially available for you to purchase? Just head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Before You Take His Name gives Christian women 14 questions that you should ask before you say I do. But here's the thing. The book is actually best for those who may be casually dating a girl, even if you're not dating at all. This is the time to read the book because it will allow you to set a healthy foundation when you start to get serious about somebody that just may be the one. So if you haven't already, head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right in the description of this video. If you're watching this on your favorite podcast app, you can find it in the show notes. Or if you're following me on Instagram, you can head over to Robin May Online and click the link in my bio. Listen, girl, if you're married, will you go ahead and order it for one of your single girlfriends? Tell them I told you to send it to them. Again, Before You Take His Name is available for purchase. Go grab your copy.